Very good morning to you, my dear listener. A very good morning to you, Namibia. Welcome. It's a Tuesday morning, the 21st of the month of April. Thanks for joining us at this point in time. It's good to have you. It's good to thanks for joining us at this point in time. And as we always said, it's always a pleasure for us to have you, so it's good. It's good to have. It's good to have you in our company. It's always a pleasure for us to have you in our company. So, good morning to you. It's a Tuesday morning. How is your Tuesday morning? Wherever you find yourself, wherever you're listening us from, welcome. This is Unpacking the Day. My name is Big Mike Oshavedi. And this is your daily dose of what is really going on in business news, in economic news, and also political news. So every day, every weekday, we cut through the line. I mean, we cut through the noise to make sense of the big stories that are going on, trends and numbers that are actually making headlines. So we kept it clear. We keep it clear and always curious, asking the questions that matter and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. So the views shared during our segment don't necessarily reflect of those Eagle FM. We are here to unpack what others are saying and spark a meaningful conversation so that you can be part of of the bigger conversation. So this is your space to unpack and to unpack the headlines with me and get to the heart of the stories. So good morning to you and welcome. Welcome to your number one talk radio station in the land of the brave. And as usual, this is your first time joining us this morning, thanks for joining us and be part of the family. Welcome to the family, Eagle FM family. You're mostly welcome. So good to have you. So as usual, here in Unpacking the Day, we start with our first segment. Our first segment looking, we go back into the time machine. We jump into the time machine and we go back into history. This is on this day in Africa where we're looking at what happened on this day in Africa. So good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are tuning in from across this beautiful, beautiful continent and beyond. So you're welcome. Welcome back to On This Day in Africa, your daily trip through history. So let's go to 1961 in Algeria. A group of French generals, feeling desperate, decided to take matter into their own hands. So they launched a full-blown coup in Algeria and trying to slam the brake on independence from France. Now, here's the thing, though. Their plan crashes. Their plan crashes so badly. So their plan crashes and burn, as people said. So the coup fails spectacularly. But here's the twist. This failed attempt actually rips the mask off of the deep division, tearing everything apart. And ironically, it speed up the whole independence movement. So Algeria would soon then be free. And when you look at that, sometimes backfire is actually, you know, sometimes backfire is just fire. Like what happened to this group of generals, group of French generals. All right. So let's fast forward, or rather rewind, to 1940. And in Mali, a baby boy named Solimane Cisse enters the world. So now this kid grows up to become absolute loyal, absolute royal, you know, in African cinema. All right. So we are talking about one of the continent's most influential filmmakers ever. So the man helps shape how Africa tells its stories on the global stage, from Bamako to Cannes, and his workmate, you know, as work met us really, and a true pioneer born on this very day. And jumping to more recent history now, in 2010, Sahel nation decided enough is enough with insecurity at their borders. Now, this was Algeria, Mali, Mauritania, and Niger. They gather in a place called Tamaraset, not Damaraset, but Tamaraset, and set up something big, a joint military command. This command, the mission of this command was to work together to fight terrorism and also cross-border crime sweeping through the Sahel region. So, yeah, so when the neighbors team up, when the neighbor team ups, that's how you tackle problems too big for one country alone. And finally, 2011, the year after the Arab Spring shook the world, an Egyptian court drops a bombshell order. The order was that take Hosni Mubarak's name off every public building, institution, actually off everything, public building, institution, you name it. So the era of having the former president stamp all over the public life, absolutely, absolutely done. So it was a powerful signal that things had really changed in Egypt, and the Arab Spring wasn't just talk anymore. It was a reality. So, and there you have it. Just another day in African incredible history, you know, timeline. Join us tomorrow again for another ride through time. So this is On This Day in Africa. All right. So our time, it's 9 minutes. 9 minutes past the hour of eight. And we are coming to you live from the Ondangwa studio. And I will be with you until the hour of 10 o'clock when I will be handing over to Tate Franz, who is coming with a program called Kuthamosha around 10 o'clock. Make sure that you tune in. Because there's always something very interesting and profound on that show. Make sure you tune in as well. All right. So our thought for the day here on Unpacking the Day. So here's the thought. Here's our today's thought. A fool and his money are soon parted. A fool and his money are soon parted. That means money can disappear fast when it is spent without thinking. You know, when we rush, maybe, or when we show off or chase quick pleasure, you know, we often lose what took time and effort to earn. So because money normally take time and effort really to earn it. So money need wisdom. It needs planning. It need discipline. So today, let us slow down, okay? Let us slow down, think before we spend, and respect every coin that comes into our hands. So, because the hard-earned money should not lead us through a careless, you know, choices. So that's your thought for the day this morning. So make sure that your hard-earned money should not just leave us, or should not just leave you through a careless choices that you make. All right. So good morning and welcome. Welcome. It's 11 past in the hour of 8. All right. When we come back, let me just tell you what we will have. What are we going to talk about? What are we going to talk about today in the show? What are we going to discuss this morning? What is our discussion this morning? What are we looking at this morning? All right. Yeah. For Namibia's, for us to be able to host international football matches. That idea is still actually remain in the limbo, as 2 billion Namibian dollar financial challenge, you know, would actually, it's going to preventing us from to get to the construction phase of the independent stadium upgrade. That would be something that would actually prevent us from moving forward. So that's the story that we're going to look at. So Namibia's ability to host, I think, international football matches, it remain in the limbo as 2 billion financial hurdles or challenges prevent the construction phase of the independent stadium upgrade from moving forward. So that's the story that we're going to look at and that we're going to unpack. And if we have time, we will have our second story as usual. And this is from the Namibia International Energy Conference. So we look for Namibia now to ensure that its emerging oil and gas sector serves as a long-term economic engine. Namibia is intensifying effort to integrate local participation, you know, skill development, and also institutional readiness, okay, that all this should be ready into its core energy strategy. So that is another area that we're going to look at. That's another story that we're going to look at. So make sure you participate, because your participation will also be part of the show, of course. So, and good morning. Let's do this after this.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
When you choose UNAM,
you get credible accreditations.
You get internationally recognized qualifications.
You get a university with a growing reputation.
When you choose UNAM,
you get a head start on local jobs.
You become connected in a growing Namibia.
You stay in the best country in the world.
Because you already know you love it here.
Open your mind to UNAM.
And UNAM will open the world to you.
UNAM is your university, Namibia.
Because the U in UNAM is you.
Oh, yeah, that's right. UNAM will open the world to you. Dumela, Lekai, Namibia, Lekai. And a very warm welcome to you, wherever you are tuning in from. So it's getting a bit cold. It's getting a bit cold. Summer is approaching. Some are complaining already. Yeah, it's getting too cold. So I love winter. So winter is my time, actually. I enjoy winter. I wish that every time it's winter, it's where I function better. I don't function better in the heat. So winter, bring it on. So, all right, good morning. You are tuned into Unpacking the Day, and I'm your host, Marco Chiavelli. So ready to break down the stories that matter to us Namibians. All right. Now, my friends, today we are going to sit down, or you could be driving, doesn't matter where you are. You could be sitting down, you could be doing other works, standing or whatever. But I mean, sit down in terms of what we're going to do, in terms of sitting down to discuss. All right, we're going to sit down. We're going to have a serious conversation, a conversation about Independence Stadium. And today, we are asking one hard question. One hard question. How did we get to a place where upgrading our own national stadium is actually going to cost us more than 2 billion Namibian dollar. And onsetni kherti. Onsetni mula. Eh? We don't have the money. So, now, I want you to stay tuned because we're going to unpack this story from, it's actually from the Namibian Sun about Namibia's independent stadium upgrade. So the project that's supposed to bring our brave warrior back home, that project is stuck, according to the news. According to the news, that project is absolutely stuck. And that's what we're going to look at. So, and before we get into, before we get to the meal, let me set up the table for you. Okay. We're going to set up the table for you. So we all, you know, so we are all eating from the same plate. Okay. What it means, let me give you just a little bit of a background. So how did we get here? And here's the story. Okay. Here's the story in short. Now, the government has confirmed recently through the Deputy Minister of Education, Innovation, Youth, Sport, Art and Culture. Whoa, at the end of that, you actually ran out of the breath. I don't know who come up with so much, you know, name of this ministry. At the end of that, you absolutely ran out of air. All right. So through the sport minister, so leave the other things, said the Honorable Dino Balotti, that the plan to upgrade Independence Stadium in Windhoek is now sitting with a funding hole of more than 2 billion. Two billion Namibian dollar. You know what? There is something, there is a pattern that I have. And I want you to really look at it. And I want you really maybe to investigate about it. And maybe someone wrote something about it. Or is something that I'm just thinking. You know what? When, especially the government, either the government or state-owned companies, or municipalities, doesn't matter, but the government. When they want to tell you that, we're not going to do that. Just to tell you that we're not going to do that project. They start actually talking about the shortfall, you know, the backlog. You know, they start to talk about the shortfall in billions. So start telling you about the shortfall in billions. That already tells you that there's no way we'll be able to do that. Yeah. Just think about it. Eh? Just think about it. Whether it's the housing crisis, what else? You know, think about that. They will start to tell you the shortfall in billions. And that's how now you start to say, that's a lot of money. Where are we going to get that money? And that's a legitimate question. Where are we going to get that money? But that's not all. Eh? So according to the story here, you know, everything else, they say it's ready. The feasibility study, done. Technical drawing, done. Procurement document, done and frozen. The document are frozen. You know, meaning locked in and ready to go. Okay? So, now, and even, you remember, during the SONA, the President Netumbo Nandi-Ndaitwah herself confirmed during the state of national address that we have crossed that feasibility finish line. So she definitely mentioned that, you know. But there's also, here's the unthinkable, and probably that's what we're going to look at a little bit more in details. Here's the unthinkable dilemma. My dear people, my fellow Namibian. Now, when it comes to budget, remember, we're talking about that the project actually need 2 billion Namibian dollars. And the dilemma is that only about 60 million has been put into the current budget for this project. Out of over 2 billion needed. Out of 2 billion needed, 60 million. So those who love percentage, that's roughly 3% of what is required. Just 3% of what is required. That tells you already, 3% for this budget year, for this year, that, and it's only about 3% of what is required. What does that tell you? That's why I said, just put everything in billion. And then you start to realize how this is a way of telling you, we're not going to do this. No, seriously, we're not going to do this. Where are you going to get 2 billion? Eh? Now, even the minister, the deputy minister of sport, Dino Balotti, admitted that this allocation is merely a starting point and clearly fall far short of what is needed. Even himself, the minister himself, deputy minister himself has said that. But what also confusing is that already, before a single brick has been laid, before one bag of cement has been opened, before just that happened, you know what we have done? We have already spent about 36 million of consultancy fee alone. 36 million on consultancy fee. Yes, that's Namibia for you. $36 million on consultancy. Well, feasibility study, design work, compliance reviews, whatever, you know, all necessary. Of course, these are necessary. These are necessary for sure. But $36 million and not a single brick has been laid. Not one. The stadium look exactly as it is. Look exactly as it did before a single cent was actually spent. It still look exactly the same. Well, I haven't been there. I haven't been in Windhoek for a while. But that's what the article say. Still look the same. So I ask you, Namibia, 36 million a consultant's fee, not a single construction worker on site. Does that sit right with you? Really? Does that sit right with you? Well, not with me. Not with me at all. Not with me at all. This is taxpayers' money. All right? Now, meanwhile, so if you look at how we have been doing, so since 2021, that's 5 year now, 2021, that's 5 year. Yeah, it's 5 year. Our brave warriors have not been allowed to play a single competitive international home match on Namibian soil. And we know the reason why. Because neither Independence Stadium nor Sam Nujoma Stadium, just the adjacent, all this, you know, stadium, they don't meet the standard of the Confederation of African Football, you know, CAF. So our boys have been playing their home games. You put that in inverted comma. You know, home games in South Africa, in Botswana, even recently in Morocco. Okay? Anywhere but home. Now, let that sink into our thought, really. You know, our home games played away from home. So we get used to this kind of things. You know, when it happens, we maybe complain a little bit. Until it becomes a norm where we don't see, you know, we don't see anything wrong with that. So we get used to it. So once you get used to something and then it becomes a norm. Now, let me take you back. Because to understand where we are, we must understand how we got there. So how did we got here? All right? If you think, Independence Stadium was built in the early, in the early 1990s, okay? In the early 1990s, okay? shortly after we became a free and a sovereign Namibia. So it was meant to be, a symbol, a place where young nation would gather, sing, shout, and celebrate. Okay? And for many years, that's exactly what it was. You know, remember the COSAFA matches? Remember when we hosted South Africa, hosted Angola? Remember the role from that stand when the Warriors scored? But stadium, my friends, stadiums are like cars, okay? If you don't service them, they break down. You need to service them. You need to keep them, you know, maintained. You have to maintain them. And over the past 2 decades, successive government administration have talked about upgrading Independence Stadium. Talk and talk and talk, like a China would say, tokela and tokela and tokela, you know? They talk and talk and talk. Now, CAF didn't just wake up one morning and decided to punish Namibia. It was not just, all right, let's go and punish Namibia. No, the process was gradual. Before 2018, condition at Independence Stadium had already deteriorated significantly. The writing was on the wall. The writing was on the wall for everyone to see. Then in 2021, CAF finally said, enough is enough. I had enough. So enough is enough. They banned both Independence Stadium and Sam Nujoma Stadium from hosting international matches. So the grass, the seating, the dressing room, the lighting, the media facilities, the security infrastructure, none of it was meeting the modern standard. So I look up the things. What are the things that get us banned? Those are some of the things that hasn't met actually the modern standard. Both venue failed the CAF's inspection requirement. And suddenly, Namibia became one of the few countries on the continent that couldn't host its own, you know, national team. And since that ban, the Brave Warrior have been nomads in our own country, you know. Football nomads. You know the nomads people? Do you know the nomad people? We have been the football nomads. So they have played. We have played so-called home matches because they were not home matches. So so-called home matches in South Africa. And as recently as mid-2025, the Namibian Football Association confirmed that all home matches would be played in Francistown, Botswana. So who are the, you know, so we will now be playing in Francistown and Botswana. So maybe we need to look at who are the players, you know, who are the player in this drama? Let's map them out. Who are actually the player in this saga, in this drama? First, the Ministry of Education, Innovation, Youth, Sport, Art and Culture. That long ministry with a long name. That's the ministry responsible for, you know, this is the ministry responsible for this to happen, for making this to happen. Deputy Minister Baloti is the one now preparing a cabinet submission to figure out how to finance the $2 billion. Now, notice the three words here, okay? The three words, fund, finance, and find. The triple F. So, and that tells you they don't yet have a plan. They don't have yet a plan. They are going to cabinet essentially saying, we have done all the homework, you know, but we need you to help us now figure out how are we going to pay for it. That's basically it. Figure out how are we going to pay for this. The second player is actually CAF. And these are the gatekeepers. Their stadium regulations are strict and non-negotiable. So minimum 10,000 seats of for international group stage matches, electronic ticketing, proper flood lighting, medical facilities, including the what is that they call defibrillator or something, the defibrillator, and ambulance and so on and standby. Those are some of the things that, you know, those are requirements. Doping control rooms, media working areas, broadcasting infrastructure. So these aren't unreasonable, you know, demand. This is not that like this, they come up with this unreasonable demand for Namibia. They are the standard across Africa, you know, and every other country that want to host international football has to meet them. Namibia has no exception, no exception at all. So, and then the third player is the Namibia Football Association. They are the one now who has to deal with the practical fallout. They are the ones making arrangement to play in Botswana, you know, booking flight, transporting players, and trying to maintain team. Because you also have tried to maintain team morale, you know, team morale when you can't play in front of your own people. It must be demoralizing for players. It must be honestly demoralizing for players. Can you imagine? Imagine being a brave warrior player. You score a goal. Instead of 10,000 Namibian erupting, you know, you just hear a handful of traveling supporters in a half-empty stadium in Francistown. That must be really demoralizing. I can just imagine if I was a player. That is, yeah. And of course, then you have the cabinet. The fourth player is the cabinet and the Ministry of Finance. Yeah, this is where now the real decision lies. The 2 billion won't come from the sport ministry budget alone. You know, this requires a national decision. It requires a political will. That's a very important. It requires a political will. And it requires trade-off. It requires trade-off because every dollar spent on a stadium is a dollar not spent on something else, maybe like school, clinic, a road. So it requires trade-off. And that's really uncomfortable reality. That's really an uncomfortable reality. So, now, and finally, the other player is you. And then there is you. The Namibian public. The football fans, the taxpayers who are funding all of this. We are the one who are funding all of this. So, of course, your voices also matter and your questions matter as well. So you must be able to ask questions. You must be able to voice your, you know, to air your voice. Not only here, but, you know, generally to leaders that are responsible. All right? So let me push a little into this, okay? Let me get into a little bit of this, okay? Now you get the whole picture. Who is who, where we are, and all that. Because I personally, I want to push this, because personally I have seen too many projects in this country following the same pattern. And probably you have too as well. So announcement is made with a lot of elaborations, with a lot of excitement, you know. At the beginning, and even sometimes when the president talk about, you know, we have done the procurement phase or whatever. So that it's feel like exciting. Something is moving, you know. As I said, everything is done with a lot of elaboration. And then you spend years on studies, and consultants. Like as we have now, we actually have paid about $36 billion to a consultant. And then come a standstill when now the time to actually deliver. Normally come, everything does come to a standstill, eh, when it's time now to actually deliver. And we have seen. We have seen it with road. We have seen it with housing. We have seen it with water infrastructure. And now we are seeing it with the stadium. We have seen this. Eh? Whether you like it being said or not, that's a fact. Eh? That's a fact. Now, let me ask you this. If the government knew that $2 billion was needed for this upgrade, why was the feasibility study commissioned without a clear funding? We didn't have the roadmap then. You commission a feasibility study, but you don't have a clear funding roadmap. Eh? Why? Why spend $36 million on a consultant to reach a procurement ready stage, when the money to build wasn't secured? There wasn't money secured for building. But then you go ahead with the, you spend $36 million a consultant. Well, think of this. It's like you're hiring an architecture to draw up a plan for a mansion. Let's say maybe it's your mansion. And when you only have enough money actually to build the garage, $60 million that you have won't take you far. Hmm? And here's another question. The CAF ban has been in place since when? Since 2021. Eh? That's actually 5 years. 5 years without a game, without a home game. In that time, in that 5 years, what alternative solution were explored? Now, recently, we just had what this public partnership forum. Yeah? So what solution have we explored? Public partner, this is not something that public partnership, public-private partnership is something that has broken for in Pohamba's administration, in late Kaingob's administrations, in a short term of of Nangoro Mbumba, you know, why didn't we explore the public-private partnership? International funding. Some other countries actually use international funding. Yeah? Well, could be that another loan again, you know. International fund, or maybe, and this is just, if I can think this way, who am I? You know, it could be a phased construction approach. Now, within 5 years, if you have a phased construction approach, you could have done something already with the money that you would have in that year. By this time, we could be very far. Or did we just wait? Okay, which is actually stupid. I'm sorry to say that. Did we just wait, hoping the money would somehow appear? Somehow, you know, we get to 2026 and 2027, and boom, there will be money. And the Deputy Minister Balotelli said that once they do it, they have to do it right. And that CAF compliance is the real challenge. He's not wrong on that. He's not wrong on that. CAF compliance is the standard we must meet. But saying we have to do it right and then doing nothing for 5 years, that's not doing right. We have 5 years doing absolutely nola. Doing absolutely zero. And doing nothing has cost. It has cost. Now, when we talk about $2 billion, the $2 billion comes from doing nothing. If we would have done something in each year, we wouldn't be actually now looking at 2 billion. Doing nothing has cost two. It has cost. One, it cost us our dignity. Yeah. Eh? It cost us our dignity as a footballing nation. For me, I feel that as a football loving person, you know, I miss going to the stadium and watch Brave Warrior playing. Eh? Gladiator playing. It cost us our dignity as a football nation. It cost our player the advantage of playing at home. What about that? It cost our players. Yeah? And it cost our, and as I said, I'm a fan. It cost our fans the joy of watching their team on the home soil. It's really disgrace. It's embarrassing, man. Yeah? It's embarrassing even we talk about this. And I believe me, when the government and this institution start talk about, you know, a shortfall in billions, they are telling, we're not going to do this. It's going to take years and years. We will forget about it until it gets used to. I said, it becomes a norm playing outside of this country. It becomes a norm. And we completely until we don't mention it anymore. Yeah. So the deputy minister also said the project is procurement ready, you know, put that in inverted comma, procurement ready, and the document are frozen. But frozen for how long? Construction, if this is frozen, the construction material don't freeze, my friend. They don't freeze. Their prices goes up. Every month we delay. And this is what happened. Every month we delay, the cement get more expensive. The steels get more expensive. Labor get more expensive. So that 2 billion figure today, it will be 2.3 billion next year. And it will be 2.6 the year after. So we pay a tax in indecision. It will be more expensive. So, and the other thing is, where is this 2 billion supposed to come from? The deputy minister said cabinet is being approached to find the money. So we don't have the money. We need to find the money. But in honest truth, when you look at our national budget is already stretched, you know, it's already stretched thinner. There are no space. There are no space to maneuver. We have drought relief to fund. We have a health system crying for resources. We're talking about, if you read in the newspaper, we're talking about, you know, fraud and, you know, when it's come to central medical centers, you know, we need nurses. I mean, we need health workers. We need the medicine in the hospitals. You know, the health system is crying out for resources. We have teachers asking for a better pay, civil servant asking for a better pay. On top of that, we have youth unemployment sitting at a level that should, that level, that 50%. That 50%, it should embarrass all of us. We should be really embarrassed. So there is no space. Physical space is very, very, very limited. It's very limited. So I'm asking you, my dear listeners, should we borrow 2 billion for a stadium? Should we get into borrowing again? Should we borrow for that? Should we look for a public private partnership? Where maybe, let's think of maybe MTC or this kind of company that have money. Think of MTC or one of the bank put in money. So you put in money in exchange, something that we're talking about yesterday, you know, in exchange for naming rights. Eh? So, and when was we talking about the pension fund that have billions and billions of dollars that could be actually invested? Why don't we get a loan from there? Why not funding things like this? Or maybe we should go to the Chinese. Eh? Let's go to the Chinese, you know, to the Arabs for a loan. Eh? To our friends. Or should we be, maybe we should be just honest and say, maybe now is not the time. And that's going to be, I can tell you that. As I said, we have seen this. And there are those who get so excited when these things are mentioned. But they don't look at the reality that is happening. Yeah. Maybe now is not the time. And our warrior must continue playing away until the economy somehow, somewhere can breathe, you know, at a certain point. We have to wait until our economy can breathe again. When that will be, given where we are and the trajectory we see of our economy, that's going to be a long wait. Well, the other thing is also that there's no easy answers. All right? There's no easy answers. So we must, you know, but we must have the conversation. That's the thing. We must have the conversation because let me tell you what the deputy minister is right about. If we do it, that's one thing that is right about, that if we do it, we must do it properly. All right? That he is right about. Half building of a stadium is worse than not building one at all. So, and I think I agree with him. If we do it, we do it properly. CAF compliance is not a suggestion. It's not a suggestion. It's a standard. You either meet it or you don't play at home. Simple. It's just as simple as that. Yeah. So, and the other thing is that we have been talking about this upgrade for years. Under the previous administration, there were promises. You know, now under new administration, there are fresh promises. The question is, will we be sitting here in 2029 talking about the same 2 billion gap? Except that by then it will be 3 billion. Eh? By then it will be 3 billion. So that's where we are. So you can also come through and add your, you know, your view, what do you think, what should be done, and how do you see us handling this? When we talk about 2 billion now, as I said, that's absolutely your government telling you we can't do this. Yeah, simple as that, we can't do this. If we have to do that, there will be a trade-off. There would be somewhere, something have to give away. You know, something else have to give away. And, you know, it will hurt. It will hurt. So now, some of you may be thinking, oh, well, that's just, but it's just football. We have a bigger problems. Well, you're right. I hear you. I do. But let me tell you why this is not just about football. Okay? This is not just about football. When a Brave Warrior play at home, hotels in Windhoek fill up. So when you have now players coming from others, so we have people now coming to watch, you know, hotels, BNB, backpacks, whatever, you know, they all fill up. Yeah? So the bride stand at the stadium make money. The kapanas, the lady, you know, the taxi drivers make money. The lady selling kapana outside, they make money. Yeah? She eats that day, you know, that day she eats. The young men selling flags and we don't sell much of vuvuzelas, you know. He would be able to pay rent from that. So a home international match is not just about 90 minutes of sport. It is economic. It's an economic event, if you can put it that way. It's an economic event. It is tourism. It is national pride. It is that feeling when 25,000 Namibians, when 25,000 Namibians sing Namibia, land of the brave, together. For a moment, tribe, language, income don't matter. Yeah? And it's something that we're missing. Believe you, that's something that we're meaning. If you have never been, and you can only be this passionate if you have experienced that. Maybe you're not a football fan and you don't really relate to that. But as I said, this is an economic event. It's not just a 90 minutes of sport. All right? So right now, every time the warrior now, the thing is that now, every time the warrior play a home game, put that home game in inverted commas. So when they play a home game in South Africa, who makes that money? South African hotels make that money. South African caterers make that money. South African broadcasters make that money. You know, we are exporting our own football economy, if you can put it that way. We are exporting our own football economy. Just think about that. And for our young players, maybe a 15-year-old in Comasdale who dreams of wearing that jersey, what does it tell them when they cannot actually watch their heroes play live in their own country? It tells them that their dreams are something that happened elsewhere. That's what it says. So how much longer, really? That's a question maybe we need to ask. How much longer must Namibia football fan, you and I, wait to celebrate a goal on a home soil? How much longer do we have to wait? Maybe we should have even taken that, all the money that now we put up for whatever, for small stadium that we tried to put in constituency. First of all, maybe let's finish the national. And then the next budget try to do that. So we want to be seen doing something. You remember, you know, we want to be seen doing something, and something sometimes is not, it doesn't bring the changes that really people need. So how much longer must Namibia football fan, how much longer should you wait to celebrate a home, to celebrate a goal on home soil? How much longer? 08333-66091. 08333-66091. You may come through and have your say. So we come into you live from the Ontango studio. 08333-66091. We're talking about the Independence Stadium, the project of Independence Stadium hit a war. Needing about $2 billion to start the constructing phase. All right, what is your comment? 08333-66091.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level.
Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the I. The I.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Yes, that's right. This is your number one talk radio station in the land of the brave. Should we call it the land of the brave anyway, given where we are in terms of this? Yeah, all right. Yeah, we're still the land of the brave. Very good morning to you. Welcome back. And So here's what you need maybe to remember from this segment. So the Independence Stadium upgrade is technically ready, but financially stuck. Technically ready, but financially stuck, with a funding gap of over 2 billion Namibian dollars. And be careful when you hear things in billion now. Is actually a clear indication that, hey, where are we going to get that money? Eh? It's hands in the air, my friend. I have seen this. It's hands in the air. It's normally going that direction. We said, just look. They kind of look how much this is. And you can even say, where are we going to get that money? That's the first question that you're asking already. And it's true. Where are we going to get that money? So, and around 36 million has already been spent on consultants' work, and only about 60 million in the current budget. I mean, if 36 already gone, you only have about 24 million that is now left. And a drop, really. This is a drop in a very big bucket. It's a drop in a big ocean. All right. So, yeah, and since 2021, Namibia has not hosted a single international match at home. Not at all. Okay. All right, let's hear what someone has to say.
A very good morning to you. Welcome to Unpacking Today. Good morning.
Lost that one. You're most welcome through. 0833-66091. All right. So, as I said, since 2021, Namibia has not hosted a single international match at home because our stadium do not meet CAF standard, and our warrior have been playing home games abroad. And what do you attribute our failure to? You know, there's so much, really, there's so much that we as a country may have contributed, you know, for our people actually playing our home game away in another country. I'm just thinking of players and coaches and, you know, yeah. So the cabinet now, is being asked to find the money. But the how, the when, and the who pays remain unclear. That remain unclear, and every month of delay makes the price, it actually makes the price take bigger. So the more we delay, the more it's gonna cost us more. All right. So, and this is not just about football, as we said. As we look at this, is not just about football. It's about economic activity. You know, it's about tourism. It's about national pride. It's about the message we send out to our young people. So that there's hope. So here's my challenge to you now. This is my challenge to you today. Okay. Tell me. Should we prioritize this stadium right now? Or should that 2 billion go to, let's say, for example, go to schools, clinics, jobs? Should it go to the youth for the job? That 2 billion. Should we prioritize? That's a challenge that, that our leaders are actually also facing. Should we spend this, and while we still have other pressing issues like jobs for young people? Who should pay? Government alone? Or should we open it up for private investors? And we seem not to do very well when it comes to private sectors. How do we create this package that the private sectors see this, private investors, you know, see this as a viable business, as a prospect business? And are you tired of our Warriors playing home matches in other people's countries? It's embarrassing, honestly embarrassing. You shouldn't, those are the things that, you know, make you not, don't get into discussion, because that's embarrassing. You can't say, you can't walk with a chest out, you can't chest out having things like that, what are you saying? Your team play outside because you can't fix your stadium. It's a really embarrassing. Well, the line is open and the debate is yours. The line is open. The debate is yours. 08333 66091. 08333 66091. Talk to me. All right. 08333 66091.
Omutiha would take it up na imatina omjo. Chikao shafata nana longeshifa ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongotisa mwene. Anageshifa ya Namibia ombitombwa na wa oronjika. Seitha nina omayakuro nirandisoma yue yongeshifa yoye kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngwe tuende tuimemeha uka kombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimopo yomo programa detu. Moambo, dengera selma, konora heta tuimu. Datu, heari hamano tano, oniyaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
All right, a very good morning to you, and thanks for making it. You know, thanks for, you know, for joining us. If you just actually, you know, joining us now, I think Wintu people are becoming habinators when it comes to cold. You know, even just taking the phone is kind of, you know. So they hibernate when it's cold, you know, they don't come through anymore. So the line is open, 08333 66091, 08333 66091, so if you want to come through and, and share your opinion and, or contribute, to the show. All right. We're not going to stand still because we have a lot of other things. We have a lot of other stories, a lot of other important news. you know, to bring to you. So do come through. And if you still want to comment on that one, but we're moving forward. Let's talk about oil and gas. Okay. The big question sitting behind all the excitement is when the money, and this is what has been on the conference now, something that has been now discussed during conference, when the money start moving offshore, you know, when the real value stays, will the real value stays here at home? Okay. When the money now start pumping in, will the real value stays at home? That has been the issue. The latest industry message says Namibia is shifting from discovery mode to now a delivery mode. Okay? So we are now at the stage where this is going to become a reality soon. Okay? We're waiting for approval. We're waiting for, you know, those final decisions. And then we were moving from discovery to a delivery mode. The question is, are we ready? Okay. In other words, the story is no longer just about what has been found under the seabelt in our orange basins. It is now about jobs. It's now about training. It's now about contracts, you know, local ownership, and whether our institutions are actually ready for this moment. So we may just talk about local content, value addition, and all that, but are we ready ourselves? You know, do our people are ready to take up the job, the well-paying job, you know, the technical, the expert, the expertise job kind of job? So our institution, our SMEs, are they ready? We are easy to say, yeah, we are ready. We are ready. We are ready. and we're given the rights, and the right we sell it to the foreign companies, you know? Yeah. And you have heard the headlines. You have heard the headlines. You have Shell, you have Total, and, you know, Total Energies, you have Galp. You know, these big players have made massive discoveries. They have massive discovery offshore. Now, and we are told we are sitting on some of the most promising deep water finds anywhere in the world. Anywhere in the world. Now, first oil is expected by 2030 or earlier 2029. You know, 2029. So that's just about 4 years away. Or 3 ways away, three years away, or four years away. So it's not far away. 4 years. That's not far away. Now, the message from the energy conference, you know, is whether we, the people of Namibia, are ready to make sure this oil work for us. That's the message. Are we ready to make sure that this work, this oil work for us? It's a very legitimate question because they know what happened, not just for the companies pulling it out, for us Namibian, because we know what is happening in the other countries. Okay? Okay. Now, since 2022, Namibia has become one of the most talked about oil frontier, you know, in the world. We have become now one of the, you know, talked about oil frontier in the world after major offshore find linked to, you know, the worlds like Graff, Venus, and lately Joker. There's lately another world called Jokers, you know. So in 2023, you know, Namcor said the country's offshore discovery, these offshore discoveries were preliminary estimated at around 11 billion barrels. Okay. I'm saying that sounding like it's a huge thing. Well, that's what I imagine. I never seen oil in that. I don't know how it's being produced. So yeah, sounds big. 11 billion barrels. When it's in billion, it must be a lot. And Venus is the, it's actually making up a large share of that. Okay. Which you are waiting now on the final investment decision. So, yeah, later this year. So yeah, that changed the national conversation overnight when that discovery was made, and that has completely just changed the national conversation. Suddenly, Namibia was not just a mining country with fisheries and tourism. Now, it was being marketed. We are now being marketed as a future oil producer. You know, possible with first oil, as I said, around 2029 or 2030. Not 2030, depending on the project approval and cost. That's also have to bear in mind. Eh? We are not out of woods yet. We could be disappointed. So, that could happen. So, yeah, we're still waiting, as I said, depending on the project's approval. Yeah, so, you know, when you, maybe you have all, and this is hate, that hurt more. When you have all your hopes on this, when you're projecting your economic growth, you're projecting your employment, you know, everything on that. And then, boom, I don't want to be whatever. How do you say this? I don't want to be the one to kind of, I don't want to be pessimistic, but we also have to be realistic, you know. You can't just put your head in sand and thinking, everything going to be okay. Yeah, we hope that everything. It looks like 90%, you know, but 10% is still very important. 10% can change many things, can change many things. So, because all our hope, whether it's employment, whether it's economic growth, it depending on this, you know, it depending on this. So, yeah, but I said, it depending also on the project approval and also the cost. So from these majors. Now, what we have been hearing during the conference is that discoveries are one thing. So they have been saying, well, discovery is one thing, but turning discovery into national wealth, that is a completely different conversation. Okay? We have seen this movie before on this continent. There has been a movie like this, you know, on this continent. Okay? So, and the participant, they all say, well, there has been a movie like this. It's one thing to celebrate discoveries. Yeah? It's one thing to celebrate all these discoveries, but turning discovery into a national wealth, that is a completely a different, a different conversation altogether. So, because we don't need to travel far. We're talking about on this continent, we don't need to travel far. We talk about Nigeria, Angola, Equatorial Guinea, you know, some of those countries, you know, oil producing countries sitting on a massive reserves, where the majority of their citizens still live in poverty. And it's not different. We have minerals. We are the third or the second, you know, country that produce uranium, that have, you know, uranium, you know, that have in large deposit. Yeah? So, but we're still poor. Yeah? Poverty has increased. The poverty has increased in this country, according to UN, has increased. Yeah? We have minerals, discovering minerals as well, but we're still poor. So that, it doesn't automatically translate into we being, hey, we rich. And in terms of economic growth, that would show, you know, but when it comes to translating now into individually having, you know, forget about it. So that means only few that are on the table will be enjoying that. So we have other countries, as I said, Nigeria, Angola, you know, that have massive, massive reserve, but their citizens still live in poverty. The oil flows, the money flows out, and the people, and the people, they are left watching tankers sailing away. Okay? You can only see the tankers actually sailing away. You know, with all your oil and money. Eh? There is your money going. Possible. It all depends how you do your how do you do your business? How do you do your yeah. So, and that's why we're talking about this local policy, local content policy. Now, so the question of Namibia is simple. Are we going to write a different ending to this story? Are we going to write a different ending from other countries like Nigeria, Angola, Equatorial Guinea, and all this? Okay? Are we going to write a different ending for to this story? So, or are we going to repeat the same script? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Well, the cabinet thinks, you know, we're trying. And I think other countries as well have all this, but sometimes it's reinforcement of policy. That has been always the case, and that's our problem. That's our problem. A really, really big problem. And you're worried. We're worried about that. Because even if we have these beautiful, beautiful policies in many, many areas of different sectors, we always come back. We always hear these issues that enforcement is, we have that in fishing. We have that in minerals, in mining. Eh? Can you imagine somebody has been mining for 3 years without a mining license? Eh? So when we talk about this, you know, there are those that, maybe they say to you, looking at this in a very negative way. No. There is a reality that is actually happening. Eh? There are examples of, can you imagine someone mining for 3 years? We just see, you know, lorries going, you know, this truck going to, with a lot of going to, you know, to the harbor. Eh? And nobody could pick up. Nobody's in charge to say monitoring all that. Eh? And this is not the same thing. We can talk about, you know, the method of mining as well in some, you know, the stamprit of the, on that side where we may contaminate, you know, the our sources of water underground. You know, there are so many things. We talked quite a lot of this stuff. All right. So that's the question. Are we going to repeat the same script like other countries? Well, let's talk about what we have done so far. You know, in the late 2024, a cabinet made a move that did not grab, I think, well, it didn't grab the front page headline, but probably should have. So they approved the National Upstream Local Content Policy. National Upstream Local Content Policy. Okay, write that down so that you go and look it up. So, and probably just go and read what is in that. So you familiar yourself with what is actually in that. We need to, people. We need to. Otherwise, if you look uninterested, you know, you let your resources are going. Someone who is interested, you're not interested. Someone outside is interested. And soon, you know, they invest in it while you just sit and think, okay, things will just flow. Eh? Money will just come. Eh? You just sit and think money will just come. All right. So we approved the National Upstream Local Content Policy. This is the rule book that says, before you drill, okay, this is the rule book that says, in a simple term, before you drill, before you hire, before you buy, Namibia come first. It's like American. America first. All right? Now we also follow suit. Namibia first. Namibia come first. Well, on paper at least. Okay? Let me put it that way. On paper at least. Namibia come first. Okay? We have that on paper. Namibia company get first shot at contract. Namibia worker get trained for the jobs. Namibia community see the benefit. Yeah. And you remember, as we said at the beginning, the question now is, as we're saying, Namibia first, then the majors maybe turned and said, okay, all right, give us the, you know, the engineers and whatever, you know, the people that we need in there. Is there, well, we don't have. Okay, give us this and this. We don't have. Give us this expert. No, we don't have. Yeah. What do you have? Okay, we can have people that clean your, you know, your rigs, you know, and we have day workers, you know. That's all we have. Yeah? Oh, can you train our people? Okay, I'm gonna train your people, but I'm gonna pay you. Of course, where does that gonna come? It's gonna come from your tax revenue. Okay, is that good? Okay, training your people, that's gonna come from your royalties and your tax revenue. All right, good deal. Okay. Well, I'm joking in a way, but that's, I mean, they do it more in a technical way. I'm using a simple way of looking at it, but basically, those are some negotiations. There's some conversation that actually take place. So yeah, we're saying Namibian company get first, you know, with that local content policy, is that Namibia company get first shot at contract. Namibia workers get trained for the jobs, and Namibian community see the benefits. And sometimes we see that we know what we want, but we just don't know how to get it. Have you been in that situation where you actually know what exactly you want? You have a vision, you know, you know where you want to be, but you just don't know how to get it. I think that's the way we are. We know what we want. Yeah? And on the paper, this is exactly what we need. Okay? When you look at, and sometimes it's easy to, you know, to do that because we can look at examples from others. Hmm?
A very
good morning.
Big Mike.
Good morning, man.
Morning, how are you?
I'm fine, and yourself?
I'm okay, my brother.
How's it been? Too cold? Or you're in the north?
Oh, very cold, my friend. Yeah. We are in the, like a winter already.
Yeah, I'm preparing coming up these days. I will be in winter soon. Yeah. So, Andiano Manjato Mboli. I actually love cold. I love cold. For some reason, my body's warm blooded or something like that, and cold never do anything to me.
Yeah, me too. I prefer cold than when it's hot.
I sleep
because when it's hot, you don't do anything. You feel like lazy.
Yeah, no. For me, when it's hot, by 12 o'clock, you're already exhausted.
You know? Exactly.
And you can only really do something from 4 o'clock because, you know, 1, 2, 3, it's hot. It's hot.
Let me start with a stadium.
Yeah.
You see, the thing is that, you see how much we spent? 36 or something million.
36 to the consultants already. You know?
Just imagine.
So you start commissioning that without securing money to start building.
To start a, what is this now? That's what I have a problem with Namibian government. Wherever you go, it's all about the consultants, it's all about feasibility study. It's all nonsense to waste money.
Yeah.
It's a nonsense. Really. Because remember, you are hiring the company, some company is not even doing a good job. They do consultant, but the other one is have to come and do it again. Just imagine now if there's no money. Then we
go for 5 or 6 years.
Maybe, we are going to do it maybe 2028. Then now we have to go again to call.
You need to do a feasibility study again because things have changed.
Nonsense.
Things have changed.
It's nonsense, my friend. That's what I'm saying. This government, there are people who've been there since the 90s. Up to now, they are still a Dalek or exist Dalek. And what? People need to go.
Yeah.
They need to go, my friend. First of all, if you want to deal with corruption, you start those what you call, maybe there's more possibility to see that. I'm telling you, because most of us, we are targeting only the ministers.
Yeah.
The people who are working under the minister. Except Sangwasa. Sangwasa is controlling his own ministry.
Yeah, because
he go to detail.
First of all, he understands the law because he understands how things work.
Exactly.
Yeah, he can hire and fire, you know?
Yeah. That's what we need. That is what we need in Namibia. Because if you look now, I think also we cannot only blame the Minister of Sport. We have to look also at the Minister of Transport and Work and Transport.
Yeah.
Because I think they're having stick also there.
Exactly.
And the one who I think they conduct even those consultants.
Yeah.
And here is printing his name like a nice mess of Namibia. But in his ministry is dirty. There are a lot of, especially I'm concerned is that this, when you look at the Minister of Transport, there are too many foreigners.
Yeah.
It's like a Minister of Education and Health. Really? I think it's a hard time to start giving the Namibia a chance. They said they go under study, but how long have they have in Namibia to study under the foreigner? Because the foreigner is still in charge up to now.
Yeah.
If you go in detail, then you look at those companies who have been conducting the feasibility study. You might find it like five of them, maybe are foreigners, or three of them.
Very much so. It's hardly Namibian, actually, especially when consultancy. Yeah. Seriously, it's hardly Namibian.
I'm telling you. It's not surprising.
Yeah.
It's not surprising. And we are not only that, like now, we are putting somebody there. We are talking about actual work. We are talking about money, our money, which are going every day out of this country.
Yeah.
Which is supposed to be circulating. And maybe we're selling fat cookie cannot stay for 2 days.
Yeah.
You see? Now, if you are talking about our national team for 5 years, guys, five good years, then you are blaming. We are blaming the coach here, that the coach is not doing his job.
Exactly.
But
playing in another foreign country for your home ground, you know, for your home match.
Yeah? Hey.
You scored, and you just about a handful of people in the stadium, an empty stadium. How does it even give you that oomph, that moral for you to push another?
To do more, to do better.
Because the crowd is always, in soccer we say that's the 11th player. I mean, yeah, the 12th player, you know?
Yeah.
Your support.
The supporters. I'm telling you, my friend, they know the thing is that we have people who are not serious.
I don't understand why we are not even embarrassed about this.
Yeah. We do. Some of us, we do. Because remember, some of us, we have foreigner guys. We were always in the groups, like in WhatsApp group.
Yeah.
And then sometimes we start even like gwalaring, I think it's in gwalaring, what am I supposed to you guys are talking about you are rich in mineral.
Exactly.
But your uranium chambers are shipping out like nobody's business, but you guys are having 3%. They're like, then you keep quiet.
You can't even have a stadium at the international level.
And you are here telling us Namibia, beautiful Namibia. We are proud to be a Namibian. Come on. What else? That's what I'm saying, guys. If you are only to celebrate, maybe the ID which you are having, a passport we are carrying, that is Namibia indebted for you. The people who are support, who are more Namibian, are the people at Tawas Brick.
Yeah.
Those who are who cannot think of like, no, tomorrow I'm waking up eating what? What are we going to say? How am I going to survive the next month? Yeah, this is a problem I think we have in Namibia. Because I'm telling you, my brother, I'm always saying, no, guys, if you look even the stadium which we are crying about the money. No, the money is very easy to get it. We have fish quarters.
Yeah.
It's very easy. Once you take those money, I mean the fish quarter from what? Government object, what they call it? Government object, what they always put in the auction. You can auction these two quarters to build that stadium. Very easy. Don't give it to individually. Come as a veteran, vulnerable people. There's only one person eating in walls in window. Who doesn't know what is even going in that community? It's what I'm saying.
Even the whole thing. Okay.
Oh, priority.
The priority. Even this building. I mean, it's not actually to say they are not important. We need, playground in constituencies. You know, we need them. But
we don't.
We also have to look at. Okay, let's have done one thing and done it quickly and done it. Quickly. So the constituency.
Micah,
playing field are not urgent. You understand?
Micah, the one which we are building now is really not needed. Because remember one thing. We need only to establish one which we knew they are going to assess more like international matches.
Yeah.
Like the one, maybe deal with what? On independence? Then, the Samnyama Stadium? Then we talk about even Oshakati.
Yeah.
Because we are talking about desifying to industrial stadium. Then we give it to Oshakati priority also. We build only those three for now. Then later on, then it's where we start like every region.
Yeah.
At least. But for now, seriously, we are talking about even like, you remember yesterday the conversation with your OEM? I'm saying, if you look, now we have Chola Chola who qualify for African Federation.
Yeah.
And now they are giving Kejatis. Do you know how much crowd are supposed to bring in?
Yeah.
Along, there are people who are supporting Chola Chola, but there are some who are interested to watch what kind of player they have in their Kejatis.
Except some of those that we support, maybe Kazakhs is your team.
Now
you
now
want
to Free State because remember one, we don't have ground.
Yeah, no, they are not going to be playing here. They are going to be playing in Botswana.
They're going to Botswana.
Yeah.
Just imagine how much we are losing out. The problem is we have people who are not thinking out of the box. Seriously, I'm telling you. And sometimes the native things are frustrating us.
Yeah.
When you look at it, then you look at the coward or idiot. Which are learning our institution. Seriously, sometimes we don't know what to call them anymore. Because sometimes when we are saying honorable, they think maybe they are up there to heaven. But the thing is, the problem which is heavy is that you have people who are not able to think enough.
Yeah.
That, once I took out of these people's pocket, can I bring back something which they can be proud of? We are talking about even like now. Just imagine, but anyway, Mike.
Yeah.
Serious, I'm angry now. Because now, if you think about it, spending 36 million.
Yeah.
For nothing.
Yeah. And then you're not ready actually to build. You know.
And then you don't have the money in hand. Yeah. But you are doing is a feasibility study for what?
And three, four, five years, that feasibility study is no longer valid. You have to come up with a different.
It will not. You know, even just after 2 years, it will not. Mm. You have to come up with something else.
And one thing I have said.
You have to do feasibility study if you are having what FIFA what is required for FIFA. You have what CAFA is demanding.
There's
you don't need to do it. This is something which you have to print it. You go to Botswana.
Mm.
You look out their stadium they establish. You take pictures. You come and do, you give it this guy who are doing what they call? A critic or whatever they draw. They draw up the plan.
Yeah.
Once they draw up the plan, then you use that one. Why you have to do feasibility study for what? To spend 36 million for nothing at all. No, Mike, man. Seriously, sometimes these people need to be arrested, man. When you are talking about anti-corruption, where are they?
The problem is us also citizens, and this is something that I'm always saying. How president takes years and years in other countries where they govern for 30 or 40 years, and you kind of like you have to blame the citizens themselves. You have to blame the citizen themselves. You shouldn't have even, you know, pity at all to say, look, this, you know, no, you blame them. You put yourself in those situations. And sometimes we put ourselves in this situation by being quiet, by just,
we don't demand. The problem of us in Namibia, we are too comfortable for our poverty.
Exactly. As I said the other time, I said we can get comfortable being poor, you know,
and
being comfortable seeing others eating. You will feel you are.
Then you feel that they are entitled to do that.
Exactly.
They are just person who get opportunity which you are able also to get it.
Yeah.
It's nothing that they are entitled because they are born what with this fancy name. No. Not at all.
Yeah. No, because we one thing in Namibia that I found is that we don't want to disturb the state quo. You know?
Yeah, come on, everybody know. Sometimes
And depending where we are, if I'm a SWAPO member, I don't want to disturb, I don't want to be seen in a bad way.
To say something, you know?
I don't want to challenge that, because then I'm seen to challenge the president, or I seem to challenge this and that. You know, and that it doesn't, you know, by being quiet, even, you know what I tell? I remember talking to some.
Even when the one party, we have to have a disagreement.
Exactly.
Agree on a disagreement. Because not every time you are doing something right.
Yeah.
And for you to collect yourself, is that when you are telling somebody telling you?
Yeah.
My friend, I think you are going the wrong way.
Yeah, exactly.
So then even I didn't agree that time.
This is one that I wanted to ask you, to say, which person do you appreciate? Do you appreciate the person who come to impress you? Hey, Mandume, you are a great person.
You are really
great. Or do you appreciate someone who tells you, you are not doing well here and here? And let's say, for example, what he's telling you is true. You know, the other one, it doesn't add anything to you. You know,
that's why the person who is
saying you are not doing well here, he will help you to improve.
Help you to improve.
And do even much, much better.
You know, I am even angry with this so-called organization who come looking after African leaders.
Yeah.
They are coming already with the president. They didn't do so much. They're already placing here. Yes, what? But where's Abraham Traoré? If you're already placing African leader, we are doing well.
Yeah.
Hey. Now, that is a thing. That's what I'm saying. Sometimes I think these people from European descent or American, they think we are stupid when we're in our country and then we look. Because some of us, that's why we are complaining in the radio. We are too much to be proud of Namibian, but I don't want to see Namibian falling apart. With my next generation, maybe I can go through what I'm going through now. Mm. But I don't want my kids or my grandkids to go the same.
Yeah.
Same way which I suffer.
Hmm. Yeah.
No way. That's why we are making sure that now we buy a kabaki with a full, but those days were ours, our life. It was heavy to hustle with a donkey in the end.
Yeah. Exactly.
So I can give you, maybe somebody will come through.
Okay.
You know, when I'm looking at this oil and gas and what, you name it, when it comes to mine, sometimes I think the president is doing very well to control this oil. Because I'm telling you, there are too many loopholes when it comes to mine and so on. Because remember, up to now, I'm still waiting for ICC to go and arrest that director who resigned to get a kickback of 50 million. Up to now, nobody's saying anything. They are all quiet.
Yeah.
And it was previous government who did that. The guy is mining lithium, just testing for 3 years or 2 years or something like that.
3 years.
Yeah, just imagine 2 years in your country, my friend, people are sleeping. And now, the current government, they think they want to give it the what?
Yeah.
Did you hear any arrest
of even the Chinese, you know,
not at all.
That
they are supposed to be deported.
Yeah.
We are supposed even to be deported already, then we take all even those trucks to be our government. Yeah. You know, and our government, because he was doing illegal things. If you do illegal things, we so deal with you the illegal way.
Yeah. But the other thing is also that
quiet about it.
Yeah, no, the other thing is also what I said. We, the media also, we're not really doing a good job. We are much of us.
Yeah,
we just reporters. We report what is just given to us. We don't go into depth now to say
detail.
Where are we? What happened? What happened with this? What happened with this person? You know, we don't follow stories in depth.
But we only
report what is given to us.
Eh? Yeah, Mike, also the problem I think we have in Namibia is that we are lacking of investigating journalists.
I think so.
And the one we have,
they
also been intimidated by our leaders.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you remember, the lady was asking about oil, if your family is involved in oil, what happened to her?
Yeah.
She was kicked out. And as a young coming up, and they want to...
Yeah, you get isolated. Yeah. You get isolated.
Exactly.
And then and you become the villain, you know?
So what I'm saying, sometimes already... But I think for her to set up the committee for that is what we want, but we don't want only the committee which is concentrating on the people from ruling party. They must be from APC, PDM. People are selected from different.
The thing is that we're not even from political party. We want expert, you know.
Expert also from those, yeah.
Yeah, no, we want expert in whatever committee you're setting up. Not just from a political party, you know. So we want expert people who knows what they are doing.
Exactly.
Eh?
Because you cannot tell me every time we are negotiating, then you are getting 3% in your mineral.
And these are Namibians.
Take it or leave it.
Yeah. I don't care where you come from, whether you come from DTA or whatever. I mean, PDA.
You are not my brother. You are not my family. In fact, you are not even a Namibian.
Yeah.
Then you are talking about 3% of us in our mineral.
Yeah.
No. It's time maybe I will tell you no, get out of here before even I call a police for you to deport you.
Yeah,
you cannot come and tell me 3% in my mineral.
Yeah.
No, it's a hard time. I think we have supposed to have a people who understand.
Yeah, no,
what
definitely.
All they mean of when it comes to priority.
Yeah,
and when it comes to mean for patriotism for your country.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, let me give other people a chance.
All right, thanks one for coming through.
All right, my brother.
Mm-hmm. Away 3666091. As I said, Namibians, we need. And this is not just a conversation here on the radio. I'm not asking that, okay, you need to come up and talk, you know, on the radio. But we need these conversations. You know, whether it's in our communities, that's only way we make a difference. We need to put pressure. These resources are our resources. And we cannot just blindly, because of what we have seen now, we cannot just blindly just say, okay, we have our leaders taking care of that. You know, sometimes we have leaders that are not incompetent. In some cases, I'm not saying everyone is incompetent, but we have, you know, some leaders that are incompetent. Eh? So, and if they screw up, you know, that resources, they are not just screwing up. This is not just about government. This is about resources that would make a difference. Your child is sitting at home without a job just because somebody, you know, has screwed up. Eh? Do you understand? Yeah. Oh, wait. 3666091. So we were talking about that the local content. We're talking about the national upstream local content policy. As I said, on a paper, this is exactly what we need. But we have to understand, paper don't drill wells. You know, paper don't build capacities. You know, paper don't train welders to meet offshore safety standard overnight. So, you see, we need, and this is what the conference was talking about, that we need, you know, to to build up that capacity. We need to build up those skills. We need to, you know, in a tangible kind of thing. The African Energy Chamber has been vocal about this as well. So the executive chairman, NJ Ayuk, you know, has been pushing a clear message. Strong policy mean nothing without strong institution to enforce them. Very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, morning, Mark.
Good morning. How are you?
Good.
Mm.
Is there any Namibian who want to participate in oil on world drillers?
Because we have no idea what it is.
Those are the problems. For not asking to benefiting as we are expecting, because the workers, they don't sit on the table to demanding their percentage. So they have somebody who is negotiating on behalf of them, who is easy to be manipulated or to be...
Who actually negotiating with people who have been there for years? This institution have been there for years. We talk about 100 years, you know?
Yeah.
They know so this at the back of their head, you know?
Yeah. So we don't have such as people in our... I don't know how the money located to manpowering these guys for them to be a part of the oil drill, the oil drillers. But to be honest, it's very tough because comparing to what I saw in South Africa is that when they wanted to build up more power plant, they end up stuck because of the BEE, which is angry to what?
At least BEE, in some way, even if it gets things completely wrong, they are very, very, very active, you know.
Yeah, but they are not because that's why we are not producing wealthy.
Well, I mean, very active in interference.
Yeah.
That's what I mean.
You put it in a good way. That is what the president needed to understand, that these guys, they are not doing anything. Yeah. And one of the things, our geopolitics also, because the president came with a hungry people, because the previous administration didn't producing the capital guy.
Yeah.
So those are the problems that we have in this country, because if you look at the guys that they were making money in the Obama era, they are already on the list of the bankrupt. So those are now the problems that there is no. It's not easy for us to producing wealthy or to benefited for wealthy, maybe to benefit for survivor in those years where the commodities are be activated
Do you think that maybe and this is coming to Africa in general, do you think that maybe our African approach to modern business really affect how we manage and how we govern, you know, especially when it comes to resources? Because in the Western approach, it's like, let's look for the most qualified person to run this. In our approach, let me look for the most person I can trust. you understand?
Yeah. Those are what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's a big complex, because if you look at the implementation, for example, policy implementation, it's not easy for them to do it because it's complicated to them already.
Yeah.
So for them to be implicated, it takes time, because we are already talking about 10% for the state.
Mm.
And when we want now this workers to be a part of the 90% that is left, those guys, the investors said no. This is not the way. But if they could be having multi-millionaire guys that they are there to produce, to providing the services that those guys need, we might end up including the workers. Because they already have those type of people. They are already venturing those type of people in different countries. So that is what is happening to Nigeria. If you look at Nigeria, so the multi-millionaire guys that they are producing by the oil, so they are also a part of the investors.
Yeah, yeah.
They are not just there to say, I demanded the capotion because it's my EPL.
Yeah, they invested. They also invested in there, you know.
They are also going with the 100% share to the bank, to Europe, to anywhere in the world.
Yeah.
So they sell some of their shares to those guys and getting what the capital to come and venture in the same way you are venturing it.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
This is what we don't have. Even if you ask knowledge guy to say, knowledge, put about even 2 billion Namibian dollar on the table. We were telling you that the bullshit. I don't want to put my money. What if they're not coming? So what I'm making there, why I have to put if I'm making?
Yeah.
So those are the problems that we, head of the state, they don't sit with the business people.
Yeah.
The right business people. Don't just call community. No. Call people that you hear.
Yeah,
they were having money.
Like when you have now, you go around with consulting the community. Now, what do people know? And you're going people around consulting about a green hydrogen, for example, or oil. Even me at this point in time, I don't know much about oil. You understand?
But you come to consulting me that we are having these
opportunities
that are coming.
Yeah.
So those are the problems that.
You know.
Not easy, but if you go to Qatar, Emirates, you're finding full of those guys.
They are also
looking partners with money.
Yeah, yeah.
Not with themselves, just to represent the country. That is one thing that the power plant failing in South Africa.
Yeah.
Because South Africa were not supposed to getting this low shade if they were to be not, because those international companies, they will withdraw. They said, no, we cannot putting our energy with the hiring hundreds of engineers, which you don't have, and you want us to give you BE. For what reason? They are not even consulting. They don't know how to do these things.
Yeah.
So those are now the things that in Namibia, it's not on the stage of even debating about this, like the way we are engaging. It's not yet even come closer with there. And one thing I realized, and I saw it, is that most people in Namibia, they have primal data.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
you are just focused on today. You're never focusing in 50 years back.
Or 50 years ahead, you know? Yeah.
Never even come across. I saw many of them when I was sitting with them in the table. I said, argue with the primal data. Well, what I'm talking about is where the problem is, which caused in 1920.
Yeah.
And you wanted to say, no, we cannot go that because our masters will say that. I said,
yeah.
The masters are already captured you.
Yeah.
There is no way. So, Mike, and the other issue that we were talking about, the stadium, you said, what is the deputy minister?
Balotelli, yeah.
Yeah, you said he's stuck on what?
We need 2 billion and 2 billion Namibian dollars. Actually, we stuck on now on the construction phase, so we can't start with the construction because we haven't secured $2 billion to start.
I see now. And yesterday we were talking about how those stadium generating money
exactly, and
how those and we don't have. Because we are not focusing on the commodities. Commodities, they are players. Even a national team of Namibia, there are no people that is a well performance in there. So that is where the problem, you are not attracting people to come and fund, buying ticket and all of that.
Because also there are no money, even if it's slowly, there are no money coming in to allow you to actually to develop to that stage, you know?
Yes. If I'm loaning you my $2 billion, where are we going to get it?
Yeah.
And I know, look, Namibia have a lot of sectors that they are funded without even generating money.
Yeah, yeah.
So where am I going to get my money back? And I know the stadium is always empty. Even if the national team plays, go to Botswana.
Mm.
How will I get my money back?
And
how will you start attracting people?
Exactly.
Well, that commodity is not there. So you cannot plan. And I think we are already arguing about the 10,000 capacity, which we we say even 5,000 capacity that they are demanding of the stadium.
Yeah.
To not be doing that because people, they don't understand Namibian soccer.
Yeah.
So they understand European soccer, but they don't understand Namibian soccer.
Yeah.
First, you have to engage with NFL. Who are the players? I want to talk to the players. What do they want from that $2 billion?
Mm.
That's where you need to start. But don't talk with the people that have been chosen by the NFA. No. Talk to the people that you hear they are good performing in the field.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
That's where you can, that's where you can find a source of, or how do they call it? It's not source, but, source of income. Find the one that is bringing you money in.
Mm, exactly,
So, the Namibian Cup, it's now end up what? It's no more attractive people.
Mm-hmm. All right,
2024. Yeah, sharp, my brother.
Okay, great. All right. That's what our time. Our time is about 58 minutes past 9. All right, just wrapping up where we are. And we are talking, I was looking at that, what was coming out, conference, the energy conference that took place last week. Yeah, as I said, the African Energy Chamber has been vocal about, we're talking about, early on, we're talking about the national stream, upstream local content policy. And then, that's what something that has been completely being discussed in the, and the whole discussion is really to say, look, it's one thing to have actually policies, another to make sure that this is being reinforced. So the African Chamber of Commerce has been also vocal about that. And they say now Mr. Ayuk has been pushing a clear message, which is a strong policy, which he said strong policy mean nothing without strong institution to enforce them. And that has been the language or the message. He also argues that Namibia has a real shot. We have a shot at turning this resources discovery into a genuine economic engine, but only if we build institution muscles. We have to build institution muscles to make local content more than just a slogan. And at the moment, sometimes it's when we look at other areas, it's just not about oil and gas, but when we look at maybe at mining and fishing, there's not the enforcement and institutional muscle is not there, And he's right. A policy on a shelf is just a paper. A policy with teeth, with enforcement, with monitoring. So that is transformational. So that's actually transformation. So, probably just three things to take from this. There are certain things that I wanted to cover on this one, much deeper as well. But three things. First, Namibian's oil future will not be defined, according to the conference, what has been really discussed will not be defined by what we found under the ocean. So it will be defined by what we build on top of it. Okay? So our institution, our skills, our industries, that what would define that. And in 2024, local content policy we have this, then we drafted a local content policy, which is actually a good start. But policy, you know, policy without enforcement is just a decoration. Absolutely just a decoration. We need institutional muscle, as we were talking about, not just institutional paperwork. That is actually, and thirdly, I think the clock is ticking. The first oil by 2020, 30 by 20. Why do I do that? I always say 2020, 30. Seriously. So by 2030 means we have roughly 4 years to get our house in order. You know, 4 years. Eh? Now that's 4 years to train, 4 years to build, 4 years to coordinate, you know, to prove that this time our African resources story have a different ending. It's not like other countries. So we have 4 years to prove that. So this is not just an energy story. I think this is a story about who we are as a nation, as the callers have indicated, about who we demand more, from our leaders, from the major companies that are involved. And also, this is from ourselves as well, you know. So the next time you hear someone celebrating another oil discovery, well, ask them, yes, but what are we doing? Eh? What are we doing with it? What are we doing with it? Because that's the question now. And that has been the question at the energy conference. What are we doing with it? That's the question. And I leave you that question. That's the question that you need to ask anyone who's telling you, celebrate another oil discovery. What are we doing with it? All right. Let's bring us to the end of our edition this morning, our segment of our episode, whatever you call it, of Unpacking the Day. And I'm going to leave you now in a capable hand of Mr. Franz coming with Kutha Mosha. And let's do this again tomorrow at the same time from 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock. So from me, Michael Chiavelli, I wish you a pleasant day ahead and have a great one. So thank you. Goodbye for now.